skip all my normal intros and reviews and setting the stage. I kind of figured that if you're going to, you know, this isn't going to be your first of the series of James, so you know what we're doing. We're just comparing Paul's teachings, which is to us, to James' teachings, which are to the saints' tribulation, or even to the, you know, non-saints, as far as that goes, so they know what it is to be a saint in due time, or a believer. And we are going to see two things tonight. We're going to see, one is we're going to see how we can pull some things out of there that says that pretty much describes our King James Bible, even though James, you know, kind of a thing. Then we're also going to see the importance of peace during the tribulation for the believer. Now, we have seen again this morning, we saw how important offending people in word will be during the tribulation. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see modern Christianity, which is a false, teaches a false gospel because they go to just wrong dispensations for the material, and how they are, these things that would be official during the tribulations are not official today, tribulation, but not official as far as doctrinal consequences. But we see it heading that direction that much more. Like I said this morning, we saw the thing about people being offended by word, and today people are offended by words. And they didn't used to be. We used to have a freedom to speak and say what you want and say right or wrong. If you didn't like it, you just walked away or something. Not that big a deal. But today you say the wrong one single word and you're fired. You're gone. You're history. They want to destroy you just because you said a wrong word. It's like, what happens here? I know when I was a kid, kids used to tease me, and I used to go back at them and say, she takes in stones and break my bones, but words will never harm me or hurt me or whatever. And today it's just the opposite, you know. So, sticks and stones won't hurt me, but words will hurt me, kind of a thing. It's just an amazing thing here. So let's look tonight. We're going to look at peace and the importance of peace for the believer during the tribulation. And what, and you know, Paul talks about peace without a doubt. We should have a peace, but there's still a difference in this peace. Now, just think of what it's like. We already understand what it's like to be a believer during the tribulation. They will have no money. They can't do anything with their money. They can't buy or sell or anything like that. So it says even in James that they are rich people are brought low, that if they want to be a believer, they will have to give up their riches. And we know that they're going to have to love their brethren because they will need their brethren. We know that they are supposed to help each other out. But how are they going to help each other out? They won't be able to have money. What good is money going to do these people during that time? And so there's things that are taking place. We know that these believers have to be so careful not to offend somebody with in word. But Paul tells us we have to tell what we have to say to people. We have to say it. We just have to be careful with it. We don't need to offend people. The word of God will offend people itself. But we talked this morning again about how we are so afraid to offend somebody. We wear what they wear and talk what they like they talk and go where they go. And if we don't go, it offends them, a family or friends or whatever. If we don't say this, it offends them. If we don't watch this with them, it offends them. So because we're already so afraid to offend anybody, which wasn't 5-6 years ago, it didn't bother us as much. Not that we should go out of our way to offend people, but that was what the sermon was this morning about. Now tonight, again, we're going to look at peace. And certainly Paul talks about us as a Christian today, the dispensation of God, of grace, that there should be peace. But is there a difference to what James talks about? Well, let's start. Let's go to James chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 13, and we'll finish out the chapter. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Okay, well, let's stop right there. You know, he's asking, who's a wise man out there in this gang, in this crowd, and who's been provided? See, now, endued means it's been given to them, endued, provided, you know, with knowledge. I'm not changing the word, I'm just helping define it, with knowledge among you. Now, what do these guys know? And if it's from God, God has given it to them. They've been anointed as such, okay? Now, let's just stop right there for us today. Are we endued with knowledge? No, we have to read, and then he will endue us. Then he provides us the knowledge, but we've got to read this Bible. We've got to. And he's looking for somebody who's wise and has this knowledge. Let him show out of a good conversation got to have a good walk. It's not just a phone conversation, you know. Who knows what they'll have by then. Probably be talking into their wrist, you know, kind of a thing. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Okay, now how tough is that going to be? Again, these believers are going to have to be doing the right thing according to God, not just the right thing according to their family or their workplace or their friends or their, you know, relatives or whatever. They're going to have to be doing the right thing. And then it says here, with meekness of wisdom. They're going to have some wisdom involved here. Now, you know, think about it. How many times have we tried to have the good conversation and with our works with a pride of wisdom, with a snottiness of wisdom or whatever? So we already would be in trouble if this was the tribulation for us. But these people will have to be doing the right thing, you know, obeying the commandments of God. They have to keep the faith of Jesus Christ, and they're going to have to do it with meekness of wisdom. So wisdom isn't something you yak and brag about. There's a meekness in there. You're learning. You know things, and you have this wisdom. You know, we have knowledge, then we have an understanding, then we have wisdom. We won't get the knowledge of God without reading the King James Bible rightly divided. When you get that knowledge and you learn these things and you're studying these things, and it takes time. It's not something you're just going to get, you know, putting the book under your pillow. Then you get an understanding. Oh, now I see it. You know, the rightly divided thing, and it clicks. Now comes the hard part. And that's the walk, the manner of life that Paul talks about. Now, in James, he talks about that kind of a wisdom, but their works will be shown in their conversation, a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. We have a choice to serve God or not. We have a choice to follow sin or not, that kind of a thing. And when we do it, like we say, we get pretty prideful about it. But making a stand on, again, what you wear, what you talk about, where you go, what you watch, all this kind of stuff, can be done without pride. It can be done with meekness. In fact, we know that if there's pride involved, somebody's going to get angry. And you'll be the one to get angry if they are challenging you. No, you just know it's the right thing. You understand your King James Bible. It's rightly divided. It pleases God. And am I not supposed to cause you to stumble? Okay, so these people are stumbling because they're getting angry. No, that's not what he's talking about here. You know, you just do the right thing, wear the right clothes, go to the right place. I don't care if it's hot. Doesn't matter what where they're at, what they're talking about, what the jokes are. Everybody else is being loud. You don't have to be, man, you don't have to participate with the things the men do. And if you're there because you have to be, you don't have to be part of the thing. You're in the midst, but you're not part of, partakers of, and everything goes on. So James is talking about during their days, they have to maintain their salvation. They still have to do with the meekness of wisdom. So when the brethren get together, and they'll know who they are. I keep telling you that. They'll know who they are because they all will be hurting and suffering. We don't see that today, but they'll know it then. They still cannot be yakking and bragging about how good they did that day and the battles they had. You know, as we get older, people like me, as we get older, we just like to tell people about our stories of the past. You know, there was a day, do you remember when I was out there hunting and I da-da-da-da, you know. And when the saints will have done some marvelous victories, and it's okay, they're going to be testifying about stuff like that, and their testimony, that's okay. But to think that they got a victory, they're going to have to, that pride thing, you know, they're going to have to knock that thing down, as we'll see here as we read. So let's keep going to verse 14. So with meekness of wisdom, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Well, see, now that suddenly makes sense to me too. We don't need to be bitter, and we don't need to have envy. We know that. We don't need to have strife. You know, Paul talks about those things here. Let me read you a couple of things. Ephesians 4. Okay, let me just read this thing here for you. Ephesians 4:31. Here he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. You know, we don't need to have that bitterness. You know, we should be able to learn from everything, which we have. I have so many opportunities to be bitter towards people. It's tough to still fight to this day, a bitterness that fights with me about certain situations and people and things. And, you know, we struggle with that still. Let's look here. I got also Romans 3:14 for some reason. So let's see what I got that down for. Romans 3:14. Let's see what it says. It's a lousy memory. I should probably write down the verses when I write the references anymore. Romans 3:14. What does that say? That says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their tongue is an open sepulcher. People that are all under sin, etc., etc. Well, they're full of bitterness in their mouth, kind of a thing here. So yeah, we don't need to be that way either. But again, when James is talking about it, we should know by now that there's a different consequence here. Okay, this wisdom descendeth not from above. What wisdom? Well, this bitter envying and strife type of stuff. That's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Okay, and he still calls it a wisdom, but that means that's your thinking process here. That's your thinker. It's your thinker. Your gooner, as we used to call it some places. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, that's that wisdom right there, that bitterness you have and envying and strife, you know, in your hearts, which comes out of your mouth there, it's not from above. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. Then he says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Okay, so now let's bring this to us. Remember, this stuff is in here for us, but it's not written to us. But we can still learn from this thing. Because, see, if we're not reading our Bible and studying our Bible, rightly dividing our Bible, and trying to apply that into our lives with the meekness of wisdom, if you want to go by that verse there, you know, Paul talks about meekness too, not a problem, then if we don't want to do that, if we stay out of this book and we don't read these things and we don't pay attention over time, because it just seems to go away from us, and we start dressing more and more wrong, we start doing things to ourselves more and more wrong, we start going places we didn't go a couple years ago, we start talking like we didn't used to, we're louder than we used to, we just throw all that stuff out because it just kind of fades away. And that thinking is not from God. That thinking is not from your King James Bible. That's the direction we end up. And we end up, it says verse 16, well, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Confusion. Why should there be confusion when you know what's right? Well, but the confusion that comes along, after a while you say, I don't know, it seems to work fine, I'm very comfortable, it's hot out, and where do we go? And I don't mind doing that stuff, and people see this, and people see that, and they know that you talked about this before, and they know they talked about that in the past, and you changed this, and, you know, which Bible do you read? It just we got this religion that's full of confusion. People believe this, people believe that. They envy each other, they're mad at each other, and there's strife, and there's arguing, and because of that, there's confusion and every evil work. I mean, the devil just has a party with that stuff. Then he says in verse 14, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, which we read the other day, and without hypocrisy. Okay, so let's keep in mind that we remember that these people, these believers, will be endued with this stuff. They will be taught this stuff. They will be given to it by God. They will be anointed, as it says in 1 John chapter 3. Or is it 2? I think it's 2. Okay, so all that will happen to these people. But if they get into this pride of wisdom thing, and if they allow this bitterness, who's going to have a better opportunity to be bitter than the people during the tribulation when they've got no food and they can't buy and sell, they can't do this stuff, and they're still supposed to be, still love each other and take care for each other, and, you know, it reminds me of the Jews during World War II, and I'm sure the Christians too. It wasn't just a Jewish thing during this Holocaust. But even when you see the movies and all that stuff, you see how these people had to hang together, and suddenly the fact that they did this with their nails or did this with their hair, that kind of stuff wasn't important. They were just there for each other. And that's how it'll be like that way again. We just see that coming, but it just won't be it'll happen that way again, put it that way. So, but us today, I mean, this is the wisdom those guys will have. Where do we get this knowledge? Okay? Where do we get this wisdom? We know where we get this wisdom from and this knowledge from. We get it from our Bible. And let's just read these verses again here, and let's be thinking of our Bible. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge? Well, have you read your Bible? Have you applied to apply that in your daily walk? These people will have to apply it in their walk. You choose. We choose to walk the correct way. Okay? If you do that in your works and you're dressing right and you're talking right and you're trying to do some right stuff, you know, you don't want to watch the TV, you don't want to watch these videos because of the time or what you got other things to do, or you know it's a bad movie or video, not that any of them are any good anymore, we know that, but hey, we can justify anything. Or the music you're going to listen to, or the fact that you need to leave a situation, you know. Do you do it with pride? Do you kind of snoot out of the whole situation? Or do you just kind of do it quietly, kind of get out of the scene? I know people get in the car, and they'll say, oh, can you turn that music off, please? It offends me. I don't like it. It's not your car. You know, you just got to put up with it. And if you can't put up with it, then you don't ride with them. Or you can ask them nicely, tell them what. But who's to say that you're to control their music in the car? One of my pet peeves, obviously. Because now we know enough about the Bible and music that we get into a car, people listen to Christian music. It's like, oh man, I don't want to listen to that. But you know, whatever. You listen to it, you hear it, and you recognize the false doctrine in it, you know, and you realize that people are listening to it, and they love it, and you feel bad for them, and all that takes place in your mind. But just don't let that pride come out. And we have opportunities for bitterness and envying and strife, but let's just not. Paul tells us, you know, stay away from that stuff. So anyway, we get into our Bibles and we're given this knowledge. Well, you were given it to us because we read it. And we get this understanding from rightly dividing. And then we get the wisdom that comes from understanding. And let's recognize the fact that this wisdom that we get from our Bible is first pure. It's peaceable. You know, now people can take stuff out of this Bible and make a war with it, but we're not trying to do that. Paul is peaceable. It's about the what? It's about the goodness of God, the long-suffering of God, the patience of God. What's bad about that? Then peaceable, he says, gentle. Yeah. You're rebuked and you're reproven. But Paul, the way Paul talks about it, he's not here to shame us. He's here to help us through the judgment seat of Christ. And now James right here, he's talking about something with this wisdom that God's going to give us. You know, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle. This is not a tough thing. Easy to be entreated. Now, in the Old Testament, what does Romans chapter 11 talk about? It talks about the severity of God. Well, they had to do the walk. Well, yes, they did. Had to obey the commandments. Yes, they did. But they didn't have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. So, from looking at this in James' book, it seems to me that what God is asking these people to do during the tribulation will not be hard to do. Even though they're in this world and they don't have the stuff, and they'll need each other, it'll be a challenge, but they got the Spirit of God upon their flesh. They should be able to do this. Easy to be entreated. The wisdom of living during the tribulation as a Christian, as a believer. Easy to be entreated. Peaceable, gentle, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, we learned that the other day, and without hypocrisy. They'll have to be real. Well, so should we with our King James Bible. This Bible, the wisdom that comes from this Bible, rightly divided, is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated, it's full of mercy, we know that, and good fruits, without partiality. Anybody can get out of the read this thing, and without hypocrisy. Paul doesn't teach us about hypocrisy. We're learning, we're trying. So, and I have to go to my same place I go to all the time. If we're not in this book, go to Ephesians chapter 4. You tell me the verse. Ephesians 4 what? It's Ephesians 4:17. This is where he warns his people as such not to live like the other Gentiles. Not to what? It says, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, And I'll say it again, when he's talking about other Gentiles, he can't be talking about the Christians, but they're all still Gentiles, because now he calls these people the children of God. So don't walk like these other Gentiles, these other Gentiles out there, which is the vanity of their mind. And here's what happens, see? This is what happens when we stay out of our book. This is what happens when James is even talking. You know, you'll have pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be treated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. What a great wisdom. But if you stay away from that, James says, listen, you will have a pride of wisdom. You'll be doing the wrong wisdom anyway. You'll have bitterness, envying, and strife. And Paul tells us that if you stay away from this Bible, because we know that that's the Word of God, where he says, ye have not so learned Christ in verse 20, then you got to get into your book. See, if you don't, you get your understanding darkened. It'll start darkening again. You'll be alienating yourself from the life of God. How do you do that? By not walking and dressing and acting and talking and seeing and reading and studying what God would have you to do. That's the life of God. Through Paul. Through the ignorance, because they don't know any better anymore. That is in them. Their heart's blinded. Their past feeling in verse 19, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's flesh, that sexual flesh feeling stuff, to work with all uncleanness. And it's what happens. You fall apart. You go back to the world. And what James says, well, that wisdom is not from above. That's earthly, sensual, devilish. So we can see how these things work together. Now, the consequences for James is very serious. The consequences from Paul, from people not reading and studying their Bible, is very serious too, but it's not their salvation. And that's what people have to realize, the differences here. Sure, we're taking something from Hebrews to Jude, and we're not applying it to us, but we're saying that's the same explanation, that's the same way it could be, because James is talking about the Word, the Word of God. God is teaching these people something. Well, Paul's talking about the Word of God. Well, what's the Word of God to King James Bible? What's the Word of God during the tribulation? God will just give them that understanding and that wisdom. He'll undo them with knowledge. He'll anoint them with this stuff. And his conclusion of verse 8, and there's more to come in chapters 4 and 5, believe me. We go to verse 18, and he concludes this thing with, and the fruit of righteousness, and, he just says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Well, is there any difference there with what Paul says? Well, let's listen. Paul talks a lot about peace. He talks about all the time. He says, go in peace. He always tells them, may the peace of God be with you. What's this one verse I remember reading here? He says here, yeah, grace to you and peace from God our Father. And what do the worldly people like to do? I saw one today. I was kind of surprised. An older person, I got to thinking, oh, they're probably back from that generation. And she waved high and put the peace sign up. The V thing, just walking across the street. Peace kind of a thing. Well, that's, the world's peace. Paul says in Romans 3:17, in the way of peace have they not known. Jesus was preaching in Acts 10, says, the word of God was sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. See, Jesus had a different kind of peace he was preaching. And we get a different kind of peace from Paul. Paul talks about having peace with God. Paul talks about having the peace of God. Paul talks about having the peace from God. And we see that there's all sorts of verses here. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. The peace that we want is from God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:15, but if the unbelieving depart, it's a marriage situation, let them depart. The unbelieving, see. You never hear people talk about that one. Pastors talking about that one. If the unbelieving depart, let them depart. Their brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. And this is a tough one because people can run to this way too fast. But if you have a marriage that's not peaceful, based on God's works and words and everything, then you can depart, and you can even remarry. Read 1 Corinthians 7 slowly. But anyway, we see that we are filled with peace in believing. He says in Ephesians 2, he is our peace, meaning Christ. And it says in Philippians 4:7 Philippians 4:7 we see here. It's not 4:7. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's the peace we have in a world full of non-peace. Peace, be at peace among yourselves. So many people don't even have peace among themselves, their own person. They're miserable, they're stressed out, they just hate themselves. They give in all the time to the world's ways, and they're mad at themselves about it, and they're just not happy with themselves. People have convinced them that they're no good, and they just kind of believe it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace of God. The peace of God passeth all understanding. There's that one. Oh, Paul talks about peace all the time. We're to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them. See? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. A lot of reason people are not having that peace with themselves is because they're no longer spiritually minded. They were at one time, but they're not now. Or the lost world is never spiritually minded. So like I said, there's so much confusion. So I just want you to see here, he says here, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know what that means? That means in some cases, it's not possible. Not with you being the Christian who you are, it's not possible in that situation. And do best you can, but it just can't be done. To live peaceably with all men, you can't in all things. But boy, in the tribulation, they're just going to have to. They're going to have to stay away from the pollutions of the world. They're going to have to just stay away from that stuff. They're going to have to stay where they can have the peace that they need to have. And if they are around somebody, they're going to have to maintain that peace. And among the brethren, not be pride about it. Not be prideful about it. It's an amazing thing during that tribulation. And just over peace. And the fruit of righteousness. In other words, doing the right thing during the tribulation. The fruit of it. It'll be done in peace. It'll be sown in peace. So they can't even go out and do the right thing with an attitude. And the world is going to hate the fruit of righteousness anyway. But these people are going to have to be peaceful people. So what we have is we have people again today. I call them butterfly Christians. They just kind of fly around, you know, flirt around and just like whatever. And they have no strength, no guts, no doctrine, no nothing. They just love everybody and the whole thing. And that's tribulational stuff. That is not today. So that's a quick one. That's a simple one. But still, let's realize that Paul tells us to have a peace and tells us to live peaceably, but he's got some strings on this thing. That we have to still do what we have to do, and we're not always going to have peace with every situation we're in. And, you know, what you do is you get out your Bible concordance or whatever in your computer because it's always easier, type up the word peace and do a word study in Paul's books about peace, and then do a study about peace in the Gospels, and then do a study about peace in the Hebrews to Jude books, you'll see that there's a difference. They're talking differently here. And that's what rightly dividing is all about. So, if you've got bitter and envying and strife in your heart, praise the Lord that we're living in the dispensation of grace. But if you have it, it's because you're not in your Bible anymore. And if you have it, because you never were in your Bible. Just remember that the wisdom you get from this Bible, it's pure. And it's peaceable. It's gentle. Sure it is. You're reading a great book. Easy to be entreated. In other words, it's easy to be done. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And it's from God. It's from above. So, just be glad you're not going to make it through the tribulation because it's going to be tough. But there are those that will make it. Well, good for them. I couldn't be one of them. That's it. That's our short one for tonight. And that's we'll pick up on James chapter 4 next time around. I got some other things floating around in my mind I'd like to try to talk and teach and preach about. But let's be consistent with this James thing. And we'll see you on the next time around, hopefully Wednesday night.